Hello, my friends. Hello, my life warriors, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to the Day In, Day Out podcast. Woo! Today on episode 277, I'm very lucky to have Dr. Nicole Bradford on the podcast today. She is a public speaker and so much more. She also was the first African-American lady to win Miss Austin. Say no more. All I've got to say is there's one or two berries, bodies buried out there. She won't go into it. It's a dark, dark tale. Hey, how are you today?
I'm doing great, and I'm so excited to be here. So thank you so much for the opportunity.
I'm excited to have you on today. Like, you know what? Like, looking through, doing the research I could do in, like, at my brief time, I have to say, you have, how can I put it, a challenging life, to say the least. How, like, so, from, like, abusive household, teen pregnancy, and like a dalliance with the law. How, like, Miss Austin, mm-hmm. the doctor, how on earth does that actually work out? Because that's like a Hallmark movie waiting right there.
It is. You're definitely right. Spot on. I am the youngest of six kids. My parents had five girls and one boy. And so being born in Austin, Texas, I lived on the east side of Texas. So I have very humble beginnings. But in my family, unfortunately, I witnessed domestic violence with my parents from time to time. And of course, at that time, I was learning how to, you know, wear the mask, because you had the problems at home, but then you put on that face when you go out into the world. So it was about my middle school to high school years that I actually knew what was going on in my house. In addition to that, my siblings, some of my sisters became parents at a young age. Mm-hmm. So when they were in high school, so definitely something that it was a norm in our family, but not anything that I wanted to be a part of. And that was one of my greatest fears, was to become a parent too young. Mm-hmm. So dealing with the domestic violence and the teen pregnancy, and then I had some siblings that would go in and out of the criminal justice system and making the poor choices. But we grew up in a family-oriented environment, and my parents were very successful in the end. They had it tough at the beginning. They were raised in public housing, but mm-hmm. they were very successful with their businesses and things of that nature. So yes, pretty tough being the youngest of six kids, but I have been able to transition and learn from what I experienced at home so that I could use my experiences not only in my childhood, but also in my adult life, transitioning into, you know, trying to fit in with your in-laws, to also going into your career. When you go into your career life, making sure that you're still able to hold on to that integrity while you work. So those transitions help to prepare me to become the individual I am today.
Yeah, and like a fine individual you are. And like, with, you mentioned integrity, like, is that the, was that the sort of cornerstone to sort of like break the quote unquote cycle, if you get what I mean? Because you mentioned other members of your family getting mm-hmm. pregnant early, and like, yeah, you didn't want to be a unprepared mother. So how would you say you like, it's one thing to say integrity, but what sort of like systems or measures did you put in place to keep you on the correct path?
Well, I always say, and I think that's the main reason that I started this company, Maintain the Flame, mm-hmm. because I say in a lot of our lives, we start off young. And yep. despite what was going on in my household, I still had this enthusiasm and this zest for life. You know, you just want to be that child. You want to have fun. You want to fit in with your friends. But then when you transition for being full of life, you come into this adult world. And so that's when your flame for life begins to either flicker or dwindle. And sometimes we even suppress that because we're trying so hard to fit in with everybody else. So I want to make sure I'm going to college because everyone's going to college, or I want to make sure I'm marrying the right guy so my parents will be happy, or so my in-laws will approve of our decisions. And when I go into the workplace, I want to make sure that I'm laughing at the right jokes and I'm fitting in and going to coffee with the right group. But then, are you being true to yourself? And so you have to take a step back and say, unfortunately, in our society, it's so many people that we wear this mask. And we take it off depending on who we're around. And so I just want to inspire others to reignite your flame for life and design the life that you desire. Because everyone has expectations for you, be it your family, your friends, and you're trying to navigate this adult world. But what's most important is being authentically, audaciously authentic in the life that you want.
When like people say authentic, I sometimes look at it and go, yeah, it's a very hard thing for many a person to, well, discover their authentic self without having to do a lot of sitting down and a lot of reflection about their life and where it's going, or where it, like where it's come from, or where it is presently, where it might be in the future. Like, what would you say to people with regards to trying to find their authentic self? Because it's easy said, not so much like easy done, you know?
You're right, because as adults, we just want to make the right choices. And I always say we are just children in big bodies. So the life that we had as kids, there are still bullies out there. We have adult bullies that just transition. And so you have to find the fire and the ability inside to say, this is who I am and this is who I want to be. I will tell you, as a principal of a school, I had a young lady that was so frustrated with her situation with her parents. Well, the parents wanted, you will be a doctor. This is what we want for you. We know what's best. So she would come to me and say, Dr. Bradford, this is irritating. I don't want to take all these AP classes. I don't want to be a doctor, but I don't want my parents upset with me as well. So we took some time and we scheduled some time for us all to sit down. And I just asked the question of the parents, did you ever take time to ask your daughter, what does she want to do? Because as a parent, you've lived your life, you've made your decisions, but now you're imposing this on your child, what you think is the right path for her and what's going to make you look good around your friends and your peers, but it's causing problems in your relationship. Because do you truly know who your child is and who she would like to be? So out of that discovery, we found out she actually just wanted to dance and she wanted to go to Juilliard school. And we were able to come up with a compromise. She took less AP classes, but she felt comfortable. We were able to get her in some dance classes because she wanted to be true to herself. And I think that starts early on in our lives, having those courageous conversations. And then as adults, taking time to take a step back and saying, wait a minute, am I truly happy with my life? Am I truly happy in this relationship? Am I truly happy on this job? Or am I doing it because of the image it gives me with everyone else or how it sounds? But what we want to do is tap into what's best for us and what fits our needs. So that means having those conversations with yourself. That means taking some time to reflect. And that means once you realize that it's not about everybody else, those individuals that you're spending time trying to impress, they will forget about this a year, 2 years from now, but you're stuck living a life that you may or may not have that desire and that fire for.
So would you just say it's just down to happiness, or is it comes down to either also value as well? Because it's one of those things where you go, I'm truly happy. That's one thing. But is like, do I have true value? Do I truly value this, or do I truly value that? Does it go together, or is it
Oh,
just?
most definitely. I think it definitely goes together because you have to reflect, do I have value in this relationship? Am I giving more than I'm taking? Or am it someone, are my needs being met as well? I have the ability to meet your needs, but are you meeting my needs? And that's the same thing in the jobs that we have. And that plays into the integrity part that we talked about. I've been in positions before where, you know, you have to evaluate, is this really meeting my needs? Am I in this position for the clout, or does it make me happy? Or am I okay with the things that I have to do? As educators, we have a very, very tough job. We have to deal with parents. We have to deal with students. And then we still have a life of our own. So we have to make that decision. Is this something that I'm bringing value to the table? Is this something where I'm positively impacting the lives of others? And is this something that I'm happy with? If you cannot answer those questions with a resounding yes, then you need to reevaluate so that you can design the life that you're going to be happy with.
Like, this is the thing. I hear that, and I really like what you're saying. But like, there's one of the things which often comes to mind when I hear this, like when it's a case of standing up against one's parents. Like, basically, there's have you heard of the tall poppy syndrome?
No, I have not.
Basically, it's one of these terms which I think is used in Australia a lot. The tallest poppy gets cut like first, because if someone tries to like stand out or be different from the rest of the crowd, it's like, yeah. And I would say having the courage to stand out, having the courage to like get your like seek out the direction you want your life to go in is one of the hardest challenges there is. Because look, don't get me wrong, you being like, okay, the first ever Miss Austin, okay, like the reason why like I bring it back to that takes a certain degree of courage. But look, it's a case of, okay, has there been a black, like went before you, has there been a black Miss Austin? And like, it's like, no. What is the likelihood of there being a black Miss Austin? Like, from your standpoint at that point, it may be slim to none. It's a case of, yeah, but you went out there, and I bet you there was many a person who around your life were like, why are you doing this?
Yes,
and, like,
yes.
The flow of negativity in, like, some regards, sometimes it will come from a place where they're trying to protect you. They want you to be safe. They don't like, and other times it comes from a place of jealousy, hate, and resentment. And like,
I agree with what you're saying. And I'm not saying that young people to stand up and against their parents, not at all, but also being genuine and true to yourself. Because like you say, for myself, I was a first generation college graduate. And so in my family, once you go and I received my bachelor's degree, of course, everyone was excited. OK, this is cool. This seems nice. Good job. But then when I went back for my master's and then again for my doctorate, wait a minute, what's wrong with you? That's enough. You have a bachelor's. Why are you going to get anything else? And so you have to evaluate yourself and you have to know this is for me. You can only live your life for yourself. Because if you go around trying to get the approval of everyone else, that bar is going to continue to rise. It's going to change. Okay, well, yeah, that was nice that you did this, but now can you jump 20 feet this time? And so you're never going to please them. So you have to remove that desire to please others and focus more on pleasing yourself. Mm-hmm. Because once I broke away from the family and I made that choice, I think I'm going to get my master's. Despite the lack of support and the questions and the jealousy, I knew that this was best for Nicole. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know how it was going to turn out, but I knew that it was best for me. And that's some of the challenges also as an educator. You may be in a classroom and you may be asked certain questions or to do certain things. Okay, it doesn't matter. Just go ahead and pass them this time. Well, no, that has to do with me and who I am and the integrity that I have. And can I be okay with myself when I go home at the end of the day? If that answer is not yes, then you need to rethink your decision.
And also, life has standards, even though you don't, like, even though you might not see these standards in plain sight, They will like somehow come around and measure you to those standards quite harshly if you're just coasting through life. It's one of those things when back in the day, there's an organization called the Fresh Air Fund in like New York State, and I was working as a camp counselor in like for inner city kids. And one of the things, like in my first year there, I was like, so, oh yeah, got taken to get this. And you like you hear the stories, you hear this, you hear that, and you're like, oh no, that must be terrible. And by the end of the third encampment, when I was hearing the stories, I was like, now I don't know, but I've heard this story a time and time again. But like the whole thing is, if you carry on the way you're doing, acting the fool, acting the clown, like having your standards way down there, they'll let it go when you're a kid. They'll let it go when you're maybe in your like teens. But when you hit a certain age, they will not let it go. And those standards and measures will come into play. And it'll be like,
I, it,
well.
and that's that, and I totally get what you're saying. And to be different is very, like you talked about, it's okay when you're young, but you were happy when you were young. You were carefree because you were okay with yourself and you were being authentic to who you were. There are adults. I've had my kids, I have three children. I have one that's 25. She's a teacher. She graduated from Hampton University, a son playing football at Angelo State, and a daughter at UNT running track. When they were younger, some of their friends would come to the house, and one little boy in particular would say, "Adults don't act like that. Adults are not supposed to do that." And I would tell him, "No, that's what he perceived because that was what he was taught. But I am not going to limit my ability to live life and enjoy life for anyone. So if that means I'm going to dance, or if there are games, if I'm going to paint my face and I'm going to scream and I'm going to ex be excited for my children, there are people that would look around and say,
Let me just say, it was a very fine phone hat you were wearing for your game. It's like very fine.
Thank you. But I am serious. But for the people that may say it doesn't take all that, that's ridiculous. There are so many more adults that want to live out loud, but I'm just so afraid of what people are going to think. At one of my son's football games when he was younger, I was yelling and cheering from him and had the bobblehead and painted my face. I had a mom come up to me and tap me on the shoulder and say, "Hey, I hear you're yelling for your son. Do you mind yelling for my son?" Now, this is an adult. We're at a game. Other people are, but they may not be as wild as I am. But this parent inside wanted to be there for her child and yell, but she was so concerned about what the people around us would think instead of thinking, "My son would be proud because I'm cheering him on and I'm loving on him." And that's sad. And that's the same thing in the workplace. You may ask a question of your supervisor. There are so many other colleagues around you that are saying, "I'm thinking the same thing." And why does that happen? But you have the courage to stand up. But then you get the response, "You're rocking the boat. Why are you asking so many questions? You don't want to get labeled as the troublemaker." But it's okay to ask questions. And I think that as adults, we need to live our life to the fullest. And you have to be true to yourself. It doesn't matter who likes it, who doesn't like it. The courage that you had when you were younger should be the exact same courage that you have as an adult. Because you can tell your child or your niece or nephew or a friend of the family all the time, "Oh, you look beautiful. Don't worry about what other people think. Oh, go over there and sit down. Don't worry about what the other kids say." But are we doing that as adults? You can't give what you don't have. So you have to have that love for yourself before you can pass it on and teach your children to love themselves enough so that they will say, "You know what? You don't have to like this outfit I'm wearing, but I'm doing it because I like it and this is who I am." And your home has to be a training ground to prepare them for the challenges that they will have to face.
Like, this is the thing. Like, you strike me as, how can I put it? Some of the few adults which still dare to dream. Because, like, this is the thing. With all of what you're saying, self-love, care, and like that, there are many adults which have stopped following their dreams. Because as a kid, now this is the whole thing. Yes, innocence in that time and that courage back then. But the important thing, what more times happened when you were a kid, you had the imagination and you had the sort of heart and desire to follow one's dreams, whether that be, I want to be a fireman, I want to be like, yeah, a space person, I want to be like today, a YouTuber. As adults, those dreams get gently snuffed away. It's not a case of they're not there anymore. They just go a little bit dormant. And we don't invest in time to put towards those dreams because, hey, it is one of those things where, yeah, life has a ways of dinging you up left, right, and center. So, no, I won't go for it. But what I really love to see from people is when they do start having that dream and basically acting on those dreams because it shows they're putting time and investment in themselves. Because so many times we put investment in everything else, be it from like BS sort of like, yeah, knickknacks here and there to just wasting time on some like arbitrary show, except Game of Thrones, House of Dragons. I love that
Yes.
show. But
Yes.
you get what I mean.
Oh, yes. It's so important because your mindset is everything. Because in our minds, we take the negative and we have the positive. We have our future concerns. We have the things that's happened in the past. And all of that's going on all at once inside of our mind. And we're afraid to take a chance. But when you were younger, you took a chance and you asked that girl out for a day. When you were younger, you took a chance and you applied for that job. Now you're sitting at a job that you know you may or may not be happy with, but you're giving that job 190%. So at the end of the day, you're not working 40 hours. You're working 50, 55 hours. So if you actually sit down and calculate your time and your energy, you might be making around $5 or $6 an hour. But what if you took that same energy and put it into yourself, into your dreams, into your values, even if you do it a little bit of time on the side as you build up your dream? And so those are the things that we need to look at. But then we have that mind of ours that'll say, oh, don't waste your time. Why would you do something like that? That's a waste of your everybody's. I mean, you shouldn't do that. Well, I'm pretty sure when you go to the grocery store and you walk down the potato chip aisle, there's not just one bag of potato chips. There are 50, 60, 70 bags of potato chips. So that means that someone out there is going to love what you're providing. All of us don't like hot fries, but there are some people that do. So put your product out there, go after your goals, build your business, whatever it is inside of you, don't allow it to die. Because you know what? I lost my sister, number five. I'm number six at the age of 48. She had just retired. She had been retired for, let's say, I think 3 or 4 months. And that was the end. She was preparing for her 50th birthday, and you never know. So, do you want to leave this earth with a bunch of, I should have done that. I could have made that business. I should have had that podcast. I'm just as good as that person is. Or are you going to act on it? Because it's one thing to talk about it, but it's another to do it. And it's very hard, but it takes one step. And that's the name of my book that I wrote. One step is all that it takes. You cannot walk up a stairway just by one step and you're already upstairs. It takes one step and then another step, and all of those small steps builds up to something great. But just like you can invest in your kids, your husbands, your jobs, whatever it is, take that time and that passion and invest it in yourself.
Yeah, basically there is a saying by Les Brown. Like he goes, like on your deathbed, you've got like all your hopes, dreams, like standing around your like bed, looking at you with angry eyes, and basically saying only you could have gave us life. But that moment passes, and all of those hopes, dreams, and basically, who knows, like a legacy which could last maybe 3, 4, 5 generations, is lost in a blink of an eye. Because yeah, as you said, like your sister passing at 50, my, like, you know what I mean? Rest in peace. But
Yes.
time, like, we often think of time as we either don't think about it, or it's always we've got another day. Got another
Yes, and that's the thing.
day.
You're totally right. I have all the time in the world. I'll get that done after. But the thing is, you have to live in the moment because nothing is guaranteed. In 2019, I picked up both of my parents and I brought them to live with us here and to help take care of them. My dad had suffered several strokes and he had aphasia and a feeding tube. And my mom had Parkinson's and dementia. Now, mind you, I'm number six out of six. So I'm still raising kids. I'm still a principal at work and I'm still trying to have a family and have a life. But I took time to take care of my parents. Well, I lost my dad in 2021 and I just lost my mom in April of 2022. But that time, I thought when I brought them here, they'd be here forever. Like, those are my idols. What would ever go wrong? And in a blink of an eye, those 3 years flew by and they're no longer here because I put off things and I'll take her here and we'll go over to this event or this play because they still have so much time. I mean, they'll make it to their 80s or 90s. My mom left at 78 and my dad passed at 80. So you have to take advantage and take control of your life and enjoy it and live in that moment because you never know.
Very true, very true. Like, because like this is the thing, we like so often you see people rather than look to the past to sort of pick up the lesson to that, like, so they can stop themselves picking up that same painful lesson in the present. They dwell in the past, and like, yes, so ever doomed to repeat it, because our future is made, written today. The past is meant to be like a quick brief visit. What, like, live in the present, and yes, the future will come and be bright. And with regards to the time we have with the people we hold dear, hold special to our lives, it is one of those things where yes, it is fleeting. And the other thing which I kind of never get or understand, we often, as like as the kids would say today, we give the people our flowers when they're gone. We don't actually give it to them in like life, in the living. Go, yeah, you know what? You are a wonderful person. You, like, I hold you in such high regard. Without you in my life, you would not, I would be diminished. But you enrich me. That is seldomly said. And even going through a global pandemic, you know, it, which everyone was like, yes, it's real scared. You know what I mean? I must value life. That time passed, and it's like the world quickly has forgotten the sort of valuable lessons which can be like that opportunity that loss should have given us. Now, how do you stay present? How do you stay in the moment?
Well, I just focus on what's going on in the moment in my life. I focus on the people that matter most because I think sometimes we give so much power to the things that should not be a priority in our lives. And for me, as a parent and as an educator, even now with my children being in college or an adult child, it's so important to connect with them and be intentional about having those relationships. Because we think that sometimes as parents, it's great that I'm involved in my child's life, but I'll do that kindergarten through fifth grade. And then after elementary, they don't need me. They understand they're good. But that's when they need you the most, especially as they turn into their high school years and even college. because there's so much peer pressure out there these days. So just as we're intentional with the elderly in our lives, we must make our children a priority. And I know it may be surprising for some, but I've had so many parents in my years as an administrator to come to me and say, "Well, how do I get him to listen? And how do I know when something's going on with my child?" Take time and make them a priority. Make them a priority. You make your job a priority. You make everyone else and other things a priority. But these children and these students, even at 17, 18, 20 years old, they're dealing with issues fitting in, being bullied. And they may try to bring some of those to the attention of parents, but come on, they're just teasing you at school. Don't worry about it. You'll get over it. But that problem for that your son or daughter is just as big for the parent as if you were a parent saying, "I got a mortgage payment and I forgot to pay my mortgage." How would you feel if your child came to you and said, "Come on, you got next month. Don't worry about it. You're only 30 days late." You know how that's going to impact your life. Well, that same problem for you is the how they view the problems that they deal with. So we have to take time, sit down, connect with our children, be intentional about those relationships because you don't know the difference that you can make in their lives. Take those cell phones. I've had parents that'll tell me, well, what do I do? I mean, they won't give it to me. You pay the bill, cut it off, log into the system, take off the internet. We're going to sit down, we're going to have a conversation. How was your day today? How are your grades looking? Not the normal, everything's fine. Pull up your grades. Show me. How can I help? And that's one of my favorite lines that I say to my children all the time, even as a 25-year-old daughter. When she calls and she may be dealing with something, how can I help? They know that this is a safe space to make mistakes so that I can let them develop into who they desire to be. Most importantly, be authentic and be happy. And that's all that I ask. No matter what they're going through, when I call and check up on them at college, after we have our conversation, I'll end the call by saying, "Are you happy?" That means more to me than anything because we have so many people going through the motions, so miserable and not genuinely happy with who they are and where they are in life. So you have to live in the moment and prioritize what's important to you.
Yeah, I hear that. I like that. I like that a lot. It's one of those things where I kind of look at it and I don't like it's the va like value, what you value in life. Because like this is the thing, like the amount of times you hear, okay, as time goes by, like yeah, like having kids goes from, oh my God, no, to like go, I want to have children, I want to have kids, yes.
Yes.
Like, yeah, and everyone looks and goes, yeah, it goes from you are you crazy? Have you lost your
Yes.
mind to like so when are you gonna get those kids out there? Is that you're not going it's a
Yes.
confusing time.
It is.
But it's a case of when everyone goes, yeah, I want to have kids, they go, yeah, I want to make that commitment. The value of that child, especially when it comes to sort of those long sleepless nights when that child is sick, like
Yes.
as a baby, like in the most cannot defend themselves in any way. I think, I don't know what it is, what happens, I think, to the majority of people. And look, I've like had my kid like just recently. She's only about 2 and a bit months. And I'm like, it's like, okay. It's like, you're screaming. I don't know what's going on. Right. But it's, I don't know what it is. And I'm tr like, I'm trying to be sort of mindful of it, trying to be still present because for many a parent, it seems like, yeah, I want a child. I want a baby. And I'm not too sure if it's a prestige thing or it's a peer pressure thing or whatnot, but it's like, it's a very precious thing. It's not 7 billion people or 8 billion people alive. It's your child, one
That's right.
singular couple. But yeah, it seems like the value of everything else in life, all of this like sort of day in, like the day in, day out chores and everything like that, seems to take more priority. And it's not even a case of, yeah, keeping a roof over the head and everything like this, but the trivial things outweigh the child. When you like, oh, yes, sit down, spend time with your child. Yeah, like, look, don't get me wrong, there are some kids which, quite frankly, oh my Lord, I'll just say it like that. But there are some kids which are, oh my Lord, but if a little bit of time and effort was given, they can be fine, outstanding citizens of like this, like human race of ours. And people not being able to make that commitment, it's kind of strange. And like, yeah, you mentioned sort of protecting your time with them and other people you might love and care about. Hey, it just boggles my mind, you know?
Yes, and I know that parents mean well, and guardians and family members, because we do have a lot of, right, especially now, there's tons of stress and anxiety all over the place. But at the same time, it's okay for you to take time to say, you know what, I'm going to turn off my cell phone and we're going to spend 30 minutes. That's just the norm in our house. We all come home and we're going to set up, this is our, we all meet up at the dinner table, cell phones are off. And we're just going to talk. And we're going to build those relationships and we're going to build those communication skills. And I'm going to let you know that I'm here for you. You know that I'm not distracted, where I'm trying to answer an email from work and my emotions are dealing with something at work, that I'm not really hearing what you're saying and what you need from me as my wife, as my child, as my significant other. So making sure you protect that time, making sure that you set aside what you believe, of course, those emails and all of that, yes, they do pay the bills. But at the end of the day, if something, God forbid, was to happen to you, the job is going to replace you. They're going to find another you. You can never replace someone that's dear to your family. And so I always say the individuals that's going to suffer the most if something was to happen to you is sitting in that house with you. And those are the individuals that we spend the least amount of time when we're trying to climb that ladder of success or trying to impress all the other people around us. But the people around us and the people that's at the top of that ladder, they're going to forget about you. They may celebrate and be sad a couple of days, but 1 or 2 months, that's going to be a wrap. But your family in that home, this is the room we used to eat dinner in. This is where they used to sit and read their books, or this is where we would watch TV together. That's an impression that doesn't go away easily.
Indeed, it doesn't. Indeed, it doesn't. So, like, I have to ask now, you as an entrepreneur, now, yes, let's just say most people that it, like, you've got three kids. Well, like, yeah, your business is like kid number four. Like, yeah. So how do you manage your time to sort of like keep that success? Well, be a successful parent and like mother, wife, balancing that with starting like, yeah, your entrepreneurial business. Like, yes, family mainstay, it would seem, because yeah, your mother was an entrepreneur, your dad's an entrepreneur, and like, yes, you're an entrepreneur.
Well, you just have to find a balance. But for me, even as a working educator, I have 2 decades of experience in the field of education. My first career started on the college campus. So I've been a professor, dean of education. Last position was vice president of student services. And then I transitioned into public school, where I've been a special education resource teacher, an assistant principal, and a campus principal. But even there, I don't care what was going on. I would spend my life trying to help and uplift and work with other students that may not have what they needed at home. But if I got a call or if my child sent me a text, everything stopped. I would drop what I'm doing to attend to the most important people because I need for them to know that they are a priority in my life. And that's the same thing as an entrepreneur. As you know, it doesn't stop when you're an entrepreneur. There is no 50 or 60 hour week. You're working when everyone's asleep. And then when they wake up, you're still working. But as soon as my children or my husband or my family says, we need you, It has to stop because that's my priority. And I always have designated times. There are days of the week I will not work because that is my family time and I need to reconnect with them. If it's bothering my kids in college and calling them or just going out and saying, hey, I'm going to pop up on your campus. You want to go out to lunch? Making them a priority and setting aside time to put them first. Because you can always work, but you can't always have those quality relationships.
No, very true, very true. Like, this is the thing. I would toss it like it's one of those things what always makes me laugh about the sort of misconception about, yeah, starting your own business, like becoming an entrepreneur. And that word sometimes is like some people don't like that word entrepreneur. Yeah, it's like, yeah, you seem to be okay with it. But everyone goes, oh, yeah, I'm going to start my own business. I'm going to have control of my own time. And yeah, it's going to be easy. And like the whole thing is, I was like, yeah, when I was much younger and had the libido of a oh, handsome. I thought the same thing. Keep control of your own time, but the whole that aspect of the work and everything like this, the reality, it is like quite mind-boggling.
Oh,
Like,
yeah.
yeah. So when you've like spoken to other people who have are starting their want to start their own businesses and everything like this, what are sort of like some of the key pieces of advice you give to those people?
Well, I think the greatest advice that I provide came from my parents, and with them being very successful entrepreneurs, is just making sure that you have that passion inside. And know that even on your worst day, there's still something to celebrate. And that's what I do for myself. I may not get the calls that I need or make the contacts that I need in that day, but I will not leave my office without at least writing down one accomplishment for that day. What is something that's positive that happened for you today, Nicole? So that's one of them. The second one would be for my dad. He started many, many years ago. He was born in 1940, so I don't know. I think he started his business in the 60s, which of course was very, very difficult back then for an African American male. And he always told me, Nicole, all it takes is one yes. And once you have that yes, you'll keep going. It'll give you the momentum that you need to keep pushing. But it may seem bleak, but you're going to have to keep knocking on the doors and you're going to have to keep pushing until you get that yes. So you have to find the good in every day when you're working, find that silver lining, know that there is someone out there that will believe in you. So keep going until you find that yes. And even if you fail, in your eyes, that's an opportunity for you to learn and for you to regroup and for you to move forward. There's always something, there's always a lesson in whatever it is you're going through. There's a purpose in the pain. It may feel uncomfortable, but it's only preparing you for the next day, the next challenge, so it'll be easier for you to move through.
Yeah, it sounds like your father was instilling grit into your like core, because like this is some of the things I've like, it's one of those things where you hear a lot that yes, this generation's coming up doesn't have that grit. This generation doesn't have that sort of like steeliness and everything like this. Like I would like say that some people in this generation coming up don't have it. But it's a case of there were some people in like yeah the generations which came before them and the generations that come before them who also didn't have it. It's one of those things where I would say being like a business owner, it is, how can I say, it is a tough road where people don't actually understand that it is a lonely path.
Oh
To
my
say
goodness.
the
Yes,
least.
it's a very, very tough road. But the great thing for me is just like we talk about parenting, you're consistently modeling for your children. And when you don't even know it, you're modeling the good and you're modeling the bad. But as my parents were working, I saw them work nonstop. And my dad always, and just as you made the statement about the different generations, with him having six kids, he would always say, "No one's listening. I built this company, I've done, but no one's listening." And I was the youngest one. And so, of course, I couldn't really articulate what I was picking up on and what I saw them do because they worked for the Internal Revenue Service in the morning. They'd come home, change clothes, and they go to work for their own business the remainder of the night.
What was their
And
own business?
they owned a janitorial service and they owned multiple rent houses. Yes. And at one point in time, he was the only janitorial company that cleaned all of the Sears stores for Austin, Texas. So he was very, very, and he had a crew and everything. But I was watching, not what he was saying, but what he was doing. And so that is my work ethic to this day, because even my husband, he'll say, "You have been in that office all day long. Like you need to come out and take a break." But that dedication and that drive, if you're not going to advocate for yourself, who do you think will? That dream is your dream. So if you're not going to believe in your dream, how do you expect somebody else to buy into it? So that means you're going to have to put in the time and the effort that you need to make that dream a reality.
Yeah, no, like this is the thing. No, it's very true. Kids are copycats, through and through. And like, yeah, in like not actually saying, but seeing from your actions what you're doing on a day-to-day basis, hence the way the apple doesn't fall too far away from the tree, as they say, is an important thing. And I think it's one of those things where we all take for granted, not unless if we are sort of like, yeah. Consciously aware of it on a regular basis. Because, like, one of my best mates, her husband is, how can I put it? He is a business guy who it like used to be a project manager slash engineer. Now he makes sort of asthma pumps for like, which random, but very lucrative. But like, yeah, his oldest son like has that sort of creativity and engineering nous behind him. But like he like in like spend like when they were babies and stuff like this, I think it's definitely a dude type thing. It's like, yes, you're a baby. And yeah, that's like, oh, like that would be my friend. So she's like, yeah,
Yes.
it's like this. I go. And like you look at this item, and I get it. My baby just like, I don't know. My lady's like, oh, look, I go, okay. How are you doing? There you go. That's how you do a handshake. No, but let going off topic, but getting back on topic. But he, like, his son came up with a board game. And like the whole thing is because of his like being a business guy and everything like this, he goes, yes, he knows the sort of next steps to take to sort of bring a product to life. And like he spent a nice little chunk of money, not too much, but to help like do the product design, get it up and like this. His son has learned so much more from that sort of time and interaction than he would ever do in a classroom and gets it. And you know what I mean? And it's made him more hungry to sort of develop and grow. And like, you know what I mean? Like you were saying, take time to be with your kids prior, like, you know what I mean? It like take an interest in what they're doing and sort of prioritize that and see how far they can go. And like, this is the thing, I don't know how high he might soar, or like it might be a thing which be like, yeah, been there, done that, time to move on and find his purpose and passion somewhere else. And if he can find his purpose and passion, that's doing a hell of a lot better than 80% of the population of this planet, like
That's
that,
right.
you know. And
Very impressive.
yeah, I'm like, yeah, so Graham, I salute you, sir. Yeah, but yeah, like so with this now, how did you get things started, like really get things started with your business? Because like here's the thing, Yeah, being an administrator like for 20 years and everything like this, working in education. Look, there are a number of people out there which most really have done a career for like, yeah, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. And like, it's a case of, I don't want to do this anymore. How did you pivot? Might give some inspiration for other people to pivot as well.
Well, I just found out what I truly loved. And I know I love children. I'm very, very passionate about children, especially the ones that are overlooked. And so I know that that's a calling and something that I'm inspired to do. I love working with teachers and helping them to come up with strategies to make sure that our children are connecting in the classroom. I love working with business owners to make sure that they're focusing on the relationships with their employees because quality relationships equal results. And I just had to take time through my experiences to know, Nicole, this is something you're good at. This is something you enjoy. And I wanted to take it where I'm going from my classroom as a teacher to a building as a campus principal and taking that knowledge and experience and taking it all over the world. Because I've always told my employees and my students, you've got to maintain your flame. It's going to be tough in school. You're going to have those hard days that you want to give up. Even in dealing with high school students, you want to drop out, but you've got to maintain that flame. I've dealt with that with faculty members. I'm tired of this. It's too many expectations, the curriculum, the parents are mean to me. I would tell them, you've got to maintain that flame. And we'd sit down and we'll come up with strategies on how to be successful in the classroom. So it dawned on me, let's take what you're doing, the training that you're doing in professional development, the conversations that you're having in parent with parents in your office, and take it on a larger scale. And so I just took this big, huge leap of faith. And a lot of this came as I lost my parents because I thought to myself, Nicole, you don't want to live a life of regrets. I should have had that business. I could be speaking like that. And I learned all of my speaking, believe it or not, when I was Miss Austin. When I became the first African American Miss Austin, you have to go around and you're speaking at graduations, you're speaking at programs, you're out in the community. And I loved it and I enjoyed it. So I would always do it a little bit on the side, but then I thought, I have the time to invest in everyone else. Well, it's time for me to invest in myself. And so I took that leap of faith. I'm doing something that I truly love. And I have the ability to impact more lives because it's not just in a classroom or in a building. I'm able to go all over the world.
This is the thing. There's a business there's a businessman called Alex Hormozi, and there's one of the there's something he says. There like the S&P 500. Do you know it?
No.
Basically S&P 500, it's basically the top 500 shares
Oh.
in the US stock market, and you can invest, and you can get a return of if you put $500 in, you'll get say $2.50 a year. It's like yay.
You're right. I know the S&P. I just didn't know the name. So I'm
Oh
sorry. Yes.
yeah. So it's like yay. And like he goes, there's the S&P me, where okay, if you invest that $500 in yourself, like he was talking about, basically I can't remember the exact position, but where they draw blood and stuff like this. It like he was talking about a weekend course. It's like a weekend certification, $500, where you would go from $10 an hour to sort of $25 to $30 an hour. So it's like, yeah, in comparison to investing in the S&P 500, you've now significantly increased your earning potential. And then if you've carry that on and you start investing in time and time again in yourself, you then bring more value to the table, therefore increasing your value to others, helping your earning potential. And this is the thing, going from yes, Miss Austin, and getting your speaking skills on, or only a few years ago. It's like, to today, where it's a useful skill, which I don't know how lucrative it is. I'm not going to ask you about that. That's entirely up to you. Hey, the IRS might be listening.
Yes,
Shut up.
right.
But something which is a new sort of like avenue you most probably didn't see before. It's one of
Correct.
those things where you'll be, it's always a surprise where one journey can take you to your present day, you know?
That's so true. You're right. I had no idea in 1995 that I would use any of that, but it's definitely very beneficial today.
So with all of that, you also wrote a book as well.
Yes, I wrote a book and it's entitled One Step Is All It Takes. And I'm currently working on my second book, and it is entitled My Soul Is Not For Sale.
Satan, get behind thee.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
There are so many distractions and temptations and everything just for you to fit in and be like everyone else. So everyone has a price. All money's not good money. Everyone wants to be in with the new fad or what's going on. And sometimes it's not good just to get along because everyone else is doing it. And we said it when we were younger, my friends are doing it. And unfortunately, you'll hear that quite a bit as adults. And so you have to take time to know what's important to you and how you're going to feel at the end of the day. And my soul is not for sale.
Excellent, excellent. Have to ask, how long did it take you to do your first book? How to get it together?
Oh, forever. Yes, forever trying to juggle being a parent and work and everything else. It took some time. Yes.
It took some time. You're like, meanwhile, you have no idea. I just wanted it to end.
Exactly.
Just wanted it to end.
Yes.
I don't know why I'm doing the second book, but yeah, here I am.
And I don't know when I'll finish, but I know that at least I try to make sure I write a paragraph or two or a page or two a day. So it takes time. I'm in no rush, but I just want to get those feelings out.
Brilliant, brilliant. So I have to ask now, what was the last thing what brought you gratitude for your day, for your life? For like a moment, who knows?
For me, I would always, it brings me back to my babies. I always say I've been very fortunate to have some amazing titles and positions in my life, but the best title I've ever been fortunate to have is the title of being mom. And so just spending those moments with my kids, that's my stress reliever. It takes me away from everything. So just being there with them and being silly and being genuine, that's the highlight for me.
Brilliant. I have to say, it's been a delight speaking with you. And I got to say,
I've enjoyed the conversation.
I am curious to know, where do you want this journey to take you? Of speaking, entrepreneurship, like motherhood, and yeah, motherhood, being a wife, and more, so much more.
Number one, I would love to be able to live out what I believe is my purpose, is to connect with individuals that may be struggling in life, that have personal issues, and they feel like they're all alone, or they just don't want to be that vulnerable with people. I want to be able to be that shoulder that people can lean on. I want to use my life, even though maybe some of my experiences that people would say, there's no way I would share that with anyone. I believe that God puts you through certain things so that you can help someone else. So I don't mind sharing. I don't mind sharing my failures as a principal, as a mom, as a wife, with my in-laws, with my children, if it's going to help improve somebody else's life and give them the courage to keep going so that they know you're not the only one. And so I hope that this leads me to the point where I can be an amazing public speaker that has a larger audience that I can impact. Of course, being a great mother, leaving a legacy for my children to not live in fear and not to try to conform, continue to conform in this world, but know that it's okay to be different. And it's okay to pursue the things that genuinely make you happy. And so I always try to live my life in a way that I can't ask you to go after what you believe in, and I can't tell you that you should do what makes you happy, and I don't have the courage to do the same.
Brilliant, brilliant. Dr. Robert. Yes. Yes. Got to say, yeah. Thank you very much for coming on today. You have been exceptional. You've been a star, legendary, as they would say. Can you? Oh, no worries. No worries at all. Can you let the people know how they can find you out there on the interwebs?
Oh, sure. Yes, my website is www.maintaintheflame.net. And on there, you can get a copy of my book. You can book me for speaking engagements, or if you're so inclined, you can book me for one-on-one life coaching.
Ah, there you go. There you go. Yes, seek her out, my friends, my life warriors. I like to say thank you for sticking with us up until the end of the show. Please stay well, stay safe, be awesome, be excellent, be fantastic. Be all the positive bees you can be in this world and then some. Keep pushing forward. Peace. And we are.